This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Are you tired of being stuck? Frustrated knowing that there's an anointing on the inside of you, but have no idea what it's for? God, I want your plan. Someone says, well, what if he don't give it that day? Well, you just keep praising him until it happens, because he says there's going to be a due time. See, just because you're ready for his plan don't mean you're ready to enact it. His plan is for mature people. You're still a baby.
Calling all World Changers e-members, partners, and those changed by the message of grace, we're coming to Los Angeles on January 27th. Houston, Texas, February 23rd and 24th. This message changes everything.
You're going to want to invite everybody you know and make sure they get their seat before we're sold out.
Make sure you use the information on your screen to register right now.
We'll see you in your city.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Now, arrogance, let's talk about that a little bit. Arrogance is also a sign that someone lacks humility. I love how, you know, we preachers do it. I don't want to brag or nothing, but, and then you go ahead and brag. I mean, I don't mean to be arrogant or nothing, but. So let's look at some things. What's a synonym that the Bible uses for arrogance? Proverbs 16 and 18. Proverbs 16 and 18. He uses the word haughty or haughtiness. Let's look at it in the King James. Proverbs 16, 18. He says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, or arrogance. Now look at it in NLT. Haughty spirit, that's arrogance. Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Look at what you're setting yourself up. Humility, we see being exalted. Arrogance, the fall. The fall. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 35. So you see what I'm saying? You're looking at all these scriptures and you're putting all these things together, and that's what we're going to be working on here. Mark 9:35, he says, and he sat down and he called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, if any man desires to be first, then the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So here he is saying the greatest is the lowest. The greatest is the lowest. That's the position of humility. Nobody understands. Everybody wants to start at the top. Everybody trying to be the boss at the beginning. The problem with that is, if you're the boss at the beginning, you don't know what's going on below you. There's something about apprenticeship. There's something about begging somebody to let you spend the day or the week with them so you can absorb and see how these things work. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end should greatly increase. God has increase on his mind, but there's a generation that's like, you know, this generation is like, I ain't trying to do no 9 to 5. And I ain't got no problem with you trying to do 9 to 5, but you ain't going to start off millionaire status either. So you might not do 9 to 5, but you're going to start off low. Well, I don't have to start off low. Well, you ain't going to start off here.
well, such and so start off here. It don't last long when it doesn't go down the road of humility. It doesn't last long because you don't have the necessary equipment to keep you there. Your talent can get you there, but your character has to keep you there. And sometimes graduating from low to high begins to build your character and equip you to maintain a level of success that you don't get. You know, somebody get one hit wonder. You get one big hit. You pop into this, and then we don't never know what happened to you no more because we don't know what went on with you because likely it was a character issue and a pride issue and an arrogance issue. You made one great record, and now you got you know, people that follow you. You know, remember when Chef had his little band following him, you know? Man, nobody know you. Stop. It's like a preacher starting a ministry. He got five members, and he got security. What you need security for? I think you got that point. Luke chapter 17, the greatest is the lowest. The greatest is the lowest. Some of the greatest men and women of God I knew started off serving in their church. They did whatever needed to be done, an opportunity to serve. That ain't how that happened. We want to skip all that. And we want the pastor to do a special impartation. And it's like, whatever I impart to you ain't gonna stay long. Because there's things you learn from the flow up. My millennials, they ain't even with me this morning, man. All right. Well, I can just do this on the internet. Still, it's like, I don't care what you start on the internet. Don't nobody know you? Well, I can get started. There's something you can learn. If you'll serve somebody who went from the flow up and they up, if you can say, can I please have the privilege of being on your floor? Mm-hmm. Can't maintain it. And whatever you get won't last long because you couldn't conquer arrogance and pride and those things. Here's the fall. Whew. Amen. Luke 17, verse 3. Good Lord. Take heed to yourselves. When we're talking about becoming humble people, and in this series, we're going to have to do a lot of self-evaluation. A lot of self-evaluation. A lot of honesty. Now, you ain't got to tell nobody what you evaluated. I mean, I was studying the scripture and saw a point. I'm like, ooh, I said, I think I almost did that. And the Lord said, no, you did it. You know, God will give you supernatural recall. I said, sure did. And that thing bothered me. I said, oh, man. And he's like, wait. Hey, this journey is not about beating yourself up. This journey is about lifting yourself up from those things into my hands. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, this is so good, rebuke him. And this is what, seriously, I believe. He says, and if he repent, forgive him. I believe that God, one of the reasons why God wants us to operate in humility is so that we'll be in a position to forgive anybody for anything, no matter what they did. That's just somebody. When you walk in humility, you always know that could have been me. I am ready to forgive. I am ready to forgive. You got to be quick to forgive. I am ready to forgive. I am quick to forgive, no matter what. No, and there may be some egregious things to take place against you, hurtful things, things that hurt your feelings. But humility puts you in a place of forgiving and being a person that will forgive. Now, think about a prideful person who gets hurt, a prideful person who has something done for them. They're ready to, I'm gonna get you back. I'm coming back at you. God wants us in a place of humility so we can be quick to forgive, because pride, we thought it was unforgiveness that stops certain things up. It's always going to be pride that blocks. Pride that blocks. That's the only thing that's going on in your life. It's blocking you. Jesus taught us how to be lowly in nature so that we could forgive those who persecute us. You've been persecuted lately? You're still carrying it? You're still nursing it? You're still rehearsing it? It ain't gone yet? You hadn't put it to bed yet? Well, when did this take place? 5 years ago? It's not put to bed yet? Ladies and gentlemen, somehow you got to start putting some things to bed. They're still awake. They're still moving around. They're still governing your life. You're putting, you got to put them to bed. So let's look at some, characters in the Bible and see if we can discover some more things about humility as we continue to work on defining humility. Let's look at David. He's always an interesting character. And in the book of Psalms 13, verse 5 through 6, let's read this in King James and the New Living Translation. Check David out. Let's see if we can see some of these things we've identified. Let's see if we can see them in some of these characters. I'm going to choose David, Jesus, and Paul. All right, so verse 5 says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Now, that's what he's saying now. But in verse 1 and 2, see, David is seeking the Lord's guidance. And he acknowledges his own powerlessness by asking hard questions of God. Look at verse 1. Just back up verse 1 and 2 and look at the questions he's asking. He said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" Forever? "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" So, I mean, he's acknowledging his powerlessness by these questions that he's asking. He doesn't have the answer, but he knows that God does. Isn't it interesting that he knew to humble himself, to say, "God, I need you, because I don't know the answers to this question." And notice, when he humbled himself, if you'll check out those last two verses of Scripture, let's go to NLT on these, Psalms 13, verse 5 and 6. He says, "But I trust in you and your unfailing love." That's humility. I trust in your unfailing love. See, we've been focusing so much on how much we love God. The question is, do you trust in his unfailing love? Do you believe his love is unfailing? Do you believe that that love won't fail? Do you believe that God loves you so much, he's going to give you the answers? I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. Look at his faith. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. That's humility. You are submitting yourself, making yourself subject unto his mighty hands. You're showing that you need him. This is humility here. This is one reason why this guy hardly ever lost any battle he went into, because he didn't go into it with his own prideful way, and God exalted him. Well, look at Jesus, man. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Here we see a submission to God's will. Verse 42 says, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will." Oh, something changed. Something changed. "Nevertheless, not my will, but let thine be done." Here we see submission to God's will. This is a reminder that though we may desire one thing, God could have the other plans. How many times have you desired one thing and were not interested in God's other plan? Jesus said, "Take this thing from me." God said, that's not the plan. That's not the plan. And then He humbled himself with one word, nevertheless, not my will. Let me get it out the way. I want yours to be done. I believe it's time for us to get nevertheless in our lives. Oh, God, I want this and I want that and do this and do that. And God's like, no, that's not the plan. Nevertheless, I'm ready to submit myself to what you want done in my life for this day. The humble person will submit to God's plan just like Jesus did. And are you willing to submit to God's plan? Are you willing to even get yourself in a posture to receive God's plan? Do you really want it? Or are we continuing to compare ourselves amongst ourselves and there the desire has been birthed in us because of what we've seen in somebody else's life? When was the last time you fell on your face and said, Lord, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, but I know you do like David did, and I want your plan. I don't want my plan. Because I have a long list of me trying to do what I want to do, and I done wasted years and years trying to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what I want to do no more. I want to do what you want me to do. Are you tired of being stuck? Frustrated knowing that there's an anointing on the inside of you, but have no idea what it's for? God, I want your plan. Somebody says, well, what if he don't give it that day? Well, you just keep praising him until it happens, because he says there's going to be a due time. See, just because you're ready for his plan don't mean you're ready to enact it. His plan is for mature people. You still a baby. Somebody say, how you still saying I'm a baby? I've been saved for 30 years, and you're still getting offended, and you still won't walk in forgiveness, and you're doing all baby stuff. You're still slandering. You're still acting like the world. You still can't figure out, well, I just got a lust problem. You've been having it all your life. You still can't figure out how to do none of the things that mature people do. Yeah, he got a plan, and he was trying to mature you to get you ready for the plan, but you weren't ready to go through your maturity. When they talked about you, you quit. When you didn't get what you wanted to do at your church, you left. You know how immature it is. Check this out. Now that I'm here, you know how immature it is. You know how immature it is for you to be at a church and they teach stuff to change your whole life, and then you hear one sermon that you disagree with and you leave. You ain't ready. Because you gotta understand there's a place called there. And what if stuff ain't gonna work until you get to that place called there? You let a fence move you from the place called there, and you somewhere else trying to figure out where is God. He where he told you to be the last time. You ain't. But you mad because the preacher said something you didn't like. Or you mad because preacher came out, he had no towel. You mad because he be going to the football game. That's worldly. Well, we're going to have to talk about it when I get to heaven, because, you know. You're just like nobody wants to be with you because you're just a funny dude. You're just not fun. Lord, nobody likes me. Just look at you. Listen to you. What's up, brother? You know, you shouldn't play with words. We're not talking about up. You should say salutation. Bro, look, you go that way, I'm gonna go this way, because I ain't got time for no baby applesauce. I wanna laugh. I wanna be around people that make you feel good and laugh. Don't hang around a bunch of stuck up Christians trying to act like they deep in your presence and be cussing like a. Ain't gonna talk about, excuse me, no, you do that a whole lot more than what you just did in front of me. You just got caught. Okay. I want your plan. Yeah, I have gone this way, but then Lord said,
that ain't where we want to go. Okay, I want to immediately go that way. You know what I found out about God? Because sometimes I decide, well, I want to do this, and God said, yeah, go and do it. That's cool. Ain't no problem with it. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. But I always want to be sensitive to, hey, we're not doing that today. What you want to do today? I need you to help me with something. Okay, God, whatever it is going to be my worship. Because I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. You do in me and through me what you want to do. I need some of your money today. Okay, what you want me to do with it? Okay, such and so over there doing such and so. I need you to just go ahead and get this into him as quick as possible. Okay, Lord, praise his holy name. Amen. He did that with me, with a church, a building. Building's paid for. It's up for sale. Gonna get a pretty good penny for it. And he says, nah, I don't want you to sell that. I want you to seed that. Okay. Okay, I want your plan. What he said in completeness, he says, I want you to seed that so you'll have a harvest for some things that are about to come into your ministry. See, God ain't never gonna ask you to do something for no reason at all. I want his plan. Humility brings exaltation. Where is God about to exalt world changers because they had pastors who were willing to say, we're going to go with your plan today? And I told my chief of staff, I said, now, don't be surprised if somebody come and offer us a really attractive offer, try to get us to change our mind. I said, we ain't changing our mind. And it happened just to show somebody came and made an offer, and I'm like, ooh, it's gone. It's already spoken for. And God's ready to do that with you. That's why you got to have a relationship with God. That's why you got to really know him. That's why you just can't be playing church. You got to really have a relationship with him, where you talk to him and he talks to you, and you have a personal relationship with him. It's not just go to church on Sunday and forget him until the next Sunday. You got to have a real relationship with God, because in the real relationship with God, there is koinonia, there is fellowship, there's a giving and a receiving that takes place, because you really know him. He's an unseen partner that you talk to him and he talks to you. And when you have that kind of relationship, you can hear him when he says, no, we ain't going that way. We're going to do this. Romans 12, 16. Let's look at the King James first and then the NLT. Let's look at Paul. He said, be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceit. Condescend to men of low estate. Humble. Look at this in NLT real quick. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Just did itself. Don't be too proud. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Somebody said, there it is. Don't think you know it all. Paul gives followers of Christ a reminder. You know what he's saying here? He was reminding them, don't be arrogant. Don't be haughty. We should let others consider us wise instead of trying to proclaim that quality for ourselves. Amen. Let other people consider you wise. Don't claim that quality for yourself or proclaim that quality for yourself. Don't be getting up there telling everybody how smart you are with your dumb self. Don't do that. It's all right for other people to say that about you. But be careful about what you say about yourself. Don't let it take you out of the running for being exalted. Okay, y'all got about 5 more minutes.
Let me close with this. There's some stuff I jot down. Let me give this to you. Without humility, we cannot expect deliverance from the Lord.
How do we keep a humble attitude in a world that exalts pride and arrogance? Creflo Dollar's series, The Path to Humility, defines humility and demonstrates how God's grace will teach us to walk in this godly trait. Available as 4 CDs for a love gift of $25 US or 4 DVDs for $35 US, this series can be yours today by calling the number on your screen, scanning the QR code, or visiting CreflodollarMinistries.org and clicking eStore.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, there's something about opening your mouth and declaring what the Word of God says.
He is our Savior, praise God. I don't know if you understand, but you are about to move to your next level.
Get the message of grace any way you want on the Creflo Dollar TV app, mobile app, the Changing Your World podcast, and daily confessions on YouTube.
By the grace of God, we feed and clothe people, provide houses, visit hospitals and prisons, and do so, so much more. Every time you make a financial donation to support us, you do these things as well. The tangible relief we provide to God's precious people is only possible because of your faithful support. Thank you for supporting us as we strive to reach a lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflodollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.